chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21.
For our conversation is in heaven.
Our manner of life, our citizenship is in heaven.
From whence also we look for the Savior.
It is from heaven we look for Jesus Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Who shall change our vile body.
We do not only look for him, but he's going to change our sinful and godly bodies.
That it may be fashioned.
That the new body we're going to get going to be fashioned.
Like unto his glorious body.
Like unto his glorious body. You may stop there. I purposely did something a while ago, and I need to correct it right now. The word vile does not mean sinful. It does not mean ungodly. What I have done is purposely drop that in, and I am purposely correcting it now. Because when I was growing up, and when in rural Jamaica we talk about a person is vile, it means the person is just ungodly. That's not what the word means. Vivian, it's good to see you in service. Really good. In fact, coming this morning, I was talking to Sister Mitchell about you, and it's good to see you here, that God has been good to you in bringing you back, that you can be with us again. Changing our vile bodies. Do you want your body to be changed? Sometimes, you know, you look on yourself and you look so beautiful and handsome. And whatever, you probably, you're thinking that I don't want anything to be done to this body. I would like it to remain as is. But further in the study, we are going to see a reason why this body needs to be changed. The letter of Philippians, that is the book. It was written by Paul from prison in Rome. Somewhere in the year 61 to 63 AD. As Paul finished the letter, he did so with the eternal hope and the security that Jesus Christ has given to his people, the Christian. But first, he reminded the Christians at Philippi that their citizenship the word conversation means that here that is verse 20 that their citizenship was in heaven. What does he mean? As I've explained here in the past, the Philippians could understand this. Because while Philippi was miles and miles away from Rome, many of the Philippians were citizens of Rome. In fact, many of the Philippians gained their citizenship because previously they were soldiers who served for years in the Roman army. And when they retired, they were honored by being given citizenship. Many of them were given parcel of land in different places under Roman rule. Some of them were hundreds of miles from Rome. But in those colonies of Rome, like Jamaica was once a colony of Britain, Philippi is like that. In these colonies, which Philippi was, you find that the magistrate administered Roman law. You find that in many cases, while the language of that colony was used, but the Latin tongue was also used. You find Roman justice, Roman morals was observed. When Paul wrote to the Philippian church that they were citizens of heaven, they could relate to this, as many of us can relate to this. Those of us, well, we are right in the period when we are celebrating independence. It is independence from Britain. I was around in 1962 when we were made independent. I was around when you go in Barclays Bank, now National Commercial Bank, and you wouldn't see a person dark like me, truly, because we were British colony and Barclays was a British bank. The people who work in it reflect Britain. Philippi was like that. So the Philippians church could relate when Paul said, "You are citizens of heaven." They understood what it meant to be in Philippi. But they were citizens of Rome. The protection of the great Roman Empire belonged to them. The great justice of the Roman government. On one occasion when Paul thought things were going against him, he could say to the captain, "I am a Roman citizen." And those who have read that text, you know that it made all the difference. Treatment that they were about to dish out to Paul, in fact, treatment that they had dished out to him, they were now afraid, because they were citizens of Rome. Paul was saying to the Philippians, we have a greater citizenship. As Christian, as people of God, we are citizens of heaven. And our belief, our devotion, our conduct, our speech, our thought must match our citizenship. Additionally, those who were citizens of Rome, yet living in Philippi, they enjoyed and they felt the stability and the security of citizenship. This gave them, or it filled them, their minds with high and valued conception of citizenship. They felt secure. Those of us who are citizens of heaven, we should feel secure with God's protection. That whatever we are going through in this life, whatever will come our way as negatives, they can do so only with the permission of the Almighty God. Because nothing can overrule God's will. Citizens of heaven. In fact, let us run to Acts 16, 32-38. Just quick, brother, while I relate it, those who might not have remembered where it is found are one of the places, because it's also found in the book, in same book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22, verse 25, 29. But this time we want chapter 16, verse 35 through 38. Let us hear it.
Verse 35. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants, saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison.
Mm-hmm.
And now do they thrust us out privily?
Uh-huh.
Nay.
Wait. You have done this to us. Notice how we just drop this little thing in. Being Roman, you want to privately just push us out when you have treated us like that? Watch here now. Read.
Nay, verily, but let them come to themselves and fetch us out.
Mm-hmm.
And the surgeons told those words unto the magistrates,
mm-hmm.
and they feared.
They feared!
When they heard that they were Romans.
Brothers and sisters, there are places in the Old Testament and New Testament that warn the world in respect to how they treat Christians. That's right. You have it both in the Old Testament, how they treat God's people then, and you have it in the New Testament. A true child of God is protected by God. irrespective of what you or I may see happening to that person here. Citizenship. So I repeat, the Philippians knew and understood the importance and the value of citizenship and knew that a great value should be put on the citizenship of heaven. Are you as a child of God feel good that you belong to God? You are a part of God's family. Did you know that's what the church is? Huh? When the Bible tells us in the book of Acts of the Apostles, the last verse, 47, and the Lord added to the church, when a man or a woman gets baptized, it means one more person has been added to Jesus' family. And notice, it is God who does the adding. Then, in verse 21 of the same chapter 3 of Philippians, Paul completed his thought with one of the great and the glorious hope that the children of God are to have in Christ. Jesus Christ at his second coming will in fact change our vile body. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I personally need to always remember what the word vile means biblically, because I have been brainwashed with the meaning we give the word today. I don't mean just in Kingston. Because I in fact had a terrible, at least that's the way he acted, uncle. And that's the way he was described. Just a few days ago, Sister Mitchell and myself were talking about him. And I think I've said here, how he lived to see over 80 years old, I don't know. Truly. He drank rum like you and I drank water. But he lived, as we'd say, a ripe old age. He was a butcher, and on different occasions he reared bees, honey. He was a gambler, and my brother and myself benefited from that when we were young. Because I've related here so many times, when him have the thing, the big piece of, bigger than this, or about this size, that him put the thing them on, just pin the thing and you will pay so much to pick one, and when you pick it, it's nothing. Must be one tin of sardine or bully beef might be on the whole thing. But we usually, because it's usually left at our grandmother's house, his mother, and in the day when he's gone about his business, my brother and myself would go and take them off and look where they have the bully beef. And put it right back on. And at night, usually Friday night, Saturday night, you know, them little country district there, dust and time, life come to life. And we just tell one of our bigger friends, because we couldn't go close to it, because he was our uncle. We just tell them which one is the bully bee. So in that way, we benefited. He cursed everybody. So everybody, his mother, and he was spoiled. He was the only of my grandmother's four children. He was not the only born, the only boy, but he was the last pickney for my grandmother. Want to know about wash belly? He was. Why? He was vile, at least the way people describe him. Vile, you see, which means he's ungodly, totally ungodly. So I grew up with that concept in respect to the meaning of the word vile, that you are ungodly, you don't fear God, you have no manners to anybody, your whole life is sinful. That's the way. But that's not the word, the meaning of the word in the Bible. Because keep in mind that even here in Kingston, all over Jamaica, that's the way we use the word vile, wicked, depraved, completely evil. That's the way we use it. But when the Bible, in the passage of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, 21, use the word on other places, it does not mean that the person is depraved, wicked, and evil. The word is from the Latin vilis, V-I-L-I-S. And the word vile means cheap. Christ says, the flesh doesn't value anything. It is the spirit that giveth life. The word vile means cheap, valueless. It means low. It means shabby. You remember how the prodigal son returned? Shabby. He no look good at all. Probably the clothes was dirty, and that's the concept. You are low down, shabby. Among other things, the word points to the weakness, the sickness, the change, and the decay which takes place in this body. Don't we get sick? If you haven't gotten sick yet, you will. That's the way we are made. There are many of us who can say, thanks be to God, I have enjoyed good health, I give God thanks. But remember, you're going to get sick one day. Probably it's the same time you die. But we're going to get sick. Huh? As we get older, the strength and vigor and vitality diminish. That's this body. That's the concept of the word vile. As we get up in age, changes take place. Huh? I have related from this very pulpit. Years ago, when I was responsible for Sister Mitchell's father's property in Maypen, and my sister's house, both of them were living abroad. I used to be in Maypen a lot, and I think I had on many occasions to go to the building society there. I think it was a building. There was a lady there in the band. That time, I imagine, she probably was 60, less or more. But her hair was white. But I don't remember having seen a person with the hair white that beautiful. The lady was so beautiful. And I say, it's just fantastic. Can you imagine how she looked when she was 20, 21? But watch here, watch here. As time passes, it has effect on us. Are you there? Man, woman, there are changes and decay, and death. So when the Apostle Paul used the word vile come to us from Greek, Latin, English. These are the concepts he had in mind. It is our bodies, every one of us. Our bodies are in fact vile and cheap because it is a body that is subject to hunger. And when our bodies want food and it doesn't get it, the body begins to feel weak. Our bodies is subject to starvation. Our body is subject to nakedness. Are we all there? Our bodies get tired. Our bodies get exhausted. It matters not how young. I'm sorry, Bolt did not win that last. Truly. You know, he was such a great athlete. But of course, as it is said, the one failure does not diminish from the man's achievement. But back on the point, yes, our bodies, sometimes we feel exhausted. Tired! That's this body. It matters not how young you are. Not only exhausted, disease and death. That's why it is vile. These are the things that the word, the concept, the connotation that is in the word. It is in fact vile and cheap because it is a body subject to stress. Depression, weaknesses, and aging. The expert tells us that I was shocked years ago. Reading this book, I think it's the one that titled Living 365 Days for the Year, written by 3 psychiatrists. And they point out that we age chronologically. Well, that we have 3 ages. Our chronological age. That is, Brother Mitchell is 25 years old. That is chronological age. We have our medical age. What is the medical age? How healthy we really are. And they said we have our apparent age. How we really look. But you know what? Whatever of those, is it your chronological age, your medical age, or your apparent age, this body does age. We are subject to hurt. Physical hurt. psychological hurt. Sometimes, my God, we go through some form of hurt, emotional hurt. That sometimes it better a person not just chop off you off your hand. Well, only two you have. Because those emotional hurt can be brought on by things, by people, by situation, by challenge you face. We go through that, brothers and sisters. These are some of the things that the apostle had in mind when he talked about that the body is vile. Not only hurt, suffering. Sometimes you are going in different places, and there's a guy here out Mullines Road. Each time I see him, if I have something and have the time, I'll give him something. Because, you know, he has a leg. I hate to see that. Usually when I see that, sometime tears settle in my eyes. And I am thankful to God that I am old. And realize that could have been me. You see, our bodies are subject to hurt, suffering, limitations. A lot of things we would like to do, we cannot do it. And what? These. It is in fact vile and cheap because it is a body subject to disease and illnesses, huh? Heaven, through the wise man Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Listen to verse 1 through verse 7. Quick, brother, time is going. Ecclesiastes.
Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth.
When you're young, are we all there? Brothers and sisters, that's why I beg God to help that camp revive. It has done so much good for our young people. And that's why I encourage you in the church to, when camp comes around, do what you can for it. Remember now that, don't wait. You know, I can tell people, don't ever make the mistake that my sister made. Mar, her name was really Daphne. We call her Mar, from Marie. I'm inviting you to church. Why don't you become a Christian? Then she have some eyes when she look on you. And she look on you from underneath her eyes. She would look on you. She would say, Master, you think me a old woman, no? She thought Christianity was for old people. Young people, remember, when you accept Jesus Christ when you're young, you start forming good Christ-like habit then. That's the best time. That's the best time. And the wise man Solomon says, remember now thy Creator, not when you're old. At that time, your memory can hardly remember anything. Remember now thy Creator when?
What?
In the days of thy youth.
While the evil days come not.
Jonathan, no move from it. You know what I call the evil days? All the things to which the body is subject. The sickness, the decay. That's what, in fact, I'm going to tell you some of it.
Nor the years draw.
Nay, when thou shalt say, I have
no pleasure in them.
You see, a lot of people, as they get up in age, life is not nice again. They're counting the days when they go to the grave. That's what Solomon is talking about. And what he's doing is the vile, the cheapness, and the many negative things that our body is subject to. Read on, brother.
While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened.
You know what he's talking about there? Is the eyes. That's right. That with all the light from the sun, from the moon, from the star, you can hardly see them. That's right. Read on.
Nor the clouds return after the rain.
Read on.
In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble.
Wait, you know what is that? The keepers of the house tremble. That's what keep the house, the body. And the keepers of the house. That's right.
And the strong men shall bow themselves.
That's the back. Read on.
And the grinders cease because they are few.
As a teeth. Read on.
And those that look out of the windows be darkened.
Those that look out of the window, the eyes. Don't you see that our body is vile? You may stop there, brother. The body is vile because, brothers and sisters, it is subject to so many things. May I? Paul ends the letter with the fact that, I'm coming down to the end of the lesson, that we need not fret because in eternity the Almighty God is going to fashion us with a body that is glorious. But as we wrap up, notice it is those who are now being made conformable. Let me hear verse 21 again of the passage of Philippians chapter 3. Let me hear it, brother.
Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body.
Read on.
According to the working whereby he is
able. Wait, let me hear verse 10. Verse 10.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection.
Wait, he's praying here that I may know Jesus Christ and that I may know the power of his resurrection. That is the power that brought Jesus Christ from the dead and bring him up as a glorious Savior. Paul says, I am looking forward for that. But watch him now, read.
And the fellowship of his suffering.
Uh-huh.
Being made conformable.
Wait. Brother Jonathan, the being made there mean having been made,
conformable.
Conformable to?
Unto his death.
To his?
Death.
Death. Brother Mitchell, somebody asked, how is that done? It's important that we get this. The people who can look forward for a glorious body, having been changed from this vile one, this body that is subject to so many negative things, are those people who in this life were made conformable
unto his death.
That is those who share in a spiritual or symbolic way his death. Brother Mitchell, how is that done? When you run to the book of Romans chapter 6, and I think it is from verse 4 and 5 that we get that. Let us get it, brother. Romans chapter 6. Let us hear from verse 3 to verse 5.
Know ye not?
Don't you know?
That so many of us as were baptized.
Wait, we are closing late. You must get this. Remember in the book of Philippians, chapter 3 and verse 10, he talks about being made conformed to Jesus' death. And the tense of the verb there mean this having been done to me or by me. I was made conformable to his death. So I can look forward to sharing in his glorious resurrection. In the same way he died and was buried, I died to sin and was buried. The same way he was resurrected, I am looking forward for that final and glorious resurrection. Here is it now from verse 3.
Know ye not?
Don't you know?
That so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death.
Brother Webb, you see, he's touching at the made conformable to his death. You read on.
Therefore, we are buried with him.
Notice the word with him. That is, there is solidarity between the prospective convert who is about to become a Christian and Christ. What type of solidarity? That's why you have word like with. T-O-G-E-T-H-E-R, together. All of that. Read now, brother.
With him by baptism into death. That like as.
Wait. Here's another one. Like as.
Christ was raised up from the dead.
That means just like Christ was raised up from the dead.
By the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life.
But notice, you must. Made conformable to his death. That is, you must become dead to sin. That is repentance. You must be buried with him. That is baptism. Conformable to. Read. What verse is that?
We're at 4.
Read.
Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together.
If! Brother Mitchell, the word together is used here in reference to with whom? It is together with Christ. That's the made conformable to his death. That's the only way you can look forward for this body to be changed into a glorious body. You must become one with Jesus Christ in faith, repentance, and baptism. Made conformable to his death.
In the likeness of his death, we
you see that? If we have been made, read verse 4 again.
Verse 5.
For
if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death.
Brother, wait. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. You all get it? It is showing the solidarity between the man or woman becoming a Christian who have accepted God's plan of salvation for him or her. You must become one with Jesus Christ in Jesus' death, spiritually or symbolically. In the same way Christ was buried, you must be buried under or in the water.
We shall also be in likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him.
The old man is killed.
and the body of sin might be destroyed.
That's the only way Jesus Christ get rid of the whole person, through faith, repentance, and baptism. So as I close, it is those who are now being made conformable to his death who will one day be conformed to his glorious resurrection. You know, I remember that the glorious body of Jesus Christ dims the noonday sun. When Paul and his company were going on the Damascus road to persecute Christians, it was not the light of the sun that blinded the man. It was the appearance of Jesus Christ in the cloud that outshined the light of the sun. Truly, his body was glorious. And the Bible tell me, say, I'm going to have a glorious body like his. Oh God, thanks be to God. A body that will know no sickness, no pain, no death, no decay, no aging, no stress. These are not idle promises, because they are from Jesus Christ. He will, in fact, change this cheap body that is subject to so many negative things. But right now, if you are not a child, you need to become one with him in his death. How you do that? Believe in him. Repent of your sin. Do you know that repentance from sin represents to some extent a debt to sin? That's right. That's why you must repent before you get baptized. And then after you repent and you confess with your mouth that you believe in Christ, you get baptized so that all the past sin can be gotten rid of by Jesus Christ. That's how you're made conformable to his death. You have just read it in the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through verse 5. Thanks be to God for his promises. Thanks be to God for giving us Jesus Christ, whose victory over death, over sin, over the grave can be our victory. If you're here today, if you're a child of God who has strayed, grown weak, backslidden, don't remain in that state. It is unsafe, it is unwise, and it is foolish. If you're a man or woman in this audience, and you'd like Jesus Christ to put you on the right road, you must conform. There must be a solidarity between you and what Christ did to redeem you. To redeem you, he had to die. He was buried and resurrected. To become a child of God, you have to become dead to sin, repentance. You have to be buried, not sprinkle some water on your head. That's not burial. You have to be buried under the water. And you come up from the water to walk in newness of life. Will you not come now, as Jesus Christ calls? In grace, in mercy, in love, he calls you right now as we stand and sing.